Coming up on TMS, I saw some grim things at Cherry Hill.
Steph tells us that, Stephen probably, oops, right? Yeah. Stephen tells us, there should be an end there, tells us that San Diego tells Salt Lake City to cease and desist.
Yeah, they're pissed. Comixology goes DRM free.
We get a good look at Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot is her name, and she's a hottie. Can we talk about that Mad Max trailer?
Sure. Star Trek meets
the Apes.
Star Wars and comics again and all as well.
Our first video game segment with Veronica Belmont.
Your emails and more on this fine episode of The Morning Stream.
Cloverstone and our plans. He's escaping in the Viper glider. Joe, catch him.
The G.I. Joe Falcon glider, flying high in the sky, sailing through the air. He's America's fighter. G.I. Joe can fly. G.I. He's a Joe. Real American hero. Flying high in the sky. He's chasing Cobra in a desperate race. Soaring and diving in a great sky chase.
You did it, Joe!
G.I. Joe Falcon Glider and Cobra Viper Glider sold separately. Figures included from Hasbro.
Thanks, Worf.
The Morning Stream. Look at me! Look at me! I'm the captain now! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Morning Stream. It's the Morning Stream, Monday, July 28th, 2014, 8.04 a.m. Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. I'm Scott Johnson, that's Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Are you tired like me?
I am tired like you, but I bet for different reasons.
Don't you wish you were tired like me? Why are you? Tell me why you're tired. Oh, you raided late.
I'm tired because we raided last night. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Although I got home roughly about the time that probably all ended.
You killed, by not going, you killed as many bosses as we did.
That's what I heard. I hugged the floor a lot less than you did, though.
Yes, you did. Exactly.
Yeah. It's not a sanitary place to be, is my feeling. Especially with all those bones around from your other 900 attempts.
Gets a little uncomfortable after a while because it kind of gets,
Oh, look at Brian talking about video games on a day that just so happens to be our first video game segment with Veronica Belmont.
The Internet Sweetheart.
The Internet Sweetheart. Let the Wookiee win. Veronica Belmont will be here later today.
Robot arms and sausage will be handed out.
We know how to party.
During intermission.
She's around. This was an idea hatched at Nerdtacular 2014. She brought up the fact that she wishes we were doing something kind of cool on TMS. And it just got around to the idea that, hey, we could use a good video game segment. And boom, the idea was hatched. It then grew up to be a fine young chicken. And today we get to show it off at the fair. So be here later, fake folks, for us to talk about video games with Veronica. Some hot news story. Oh, yeah. We also have Steven Schleicher coming up on a very special San Diego Comic-Con recap episode of the show, which means
it's too big to fit in a normal Steven Schleicher segment, isn't it?
No, F that. We gotta blow this up. So he's going to hang out with us like after Daryl and throughout until we bring Veronica on. He's going to be here, and we're going to talk about all the stuff that came out of that thing. Don't worry if you're sitting there going, oh, it's all comic talk. No, no, no. It's Comic-Con has become so much more than that. So we'll get to that here in a bit. Okay, Brian, look.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Huh? It isn't as if you and I just did FilmSack last night. FilmSack.com, everybody. You want to go check that out?
Well, I didn't get to hear about how things went this weekend.
Yeah.
So this is good.
So we had a family reunion on my wife's side. The in-laws, right? That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a place called, I told you about Cherry Hill on Thursday. And you said, oh, there's a Cherry Hill in Denver or near Denver. And it's like all the rich people live there and all that stuff, right? So we had this big conversation about Cherry Hill. Well, I went to the Cherry Hill that we here in the Salt Lake Valley are familiar with.
Your Cherry Hill.
Yes. Our Cherry Hill, about 38 minutes north of me or so. Not far. We get there. It's nice. Great big campground / water park, golf course. What else? The arcade, bumper car thing. All right. So big, big family hoo-ha deal. And we did it on the day after the 24th of July, which is the 25th, obviously. And the 24th being Utah statehood day or
Utah
whatever.
Day. Right. Yes.
We didn't realize that that would mean that the Friday would be the busiest day of their year.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, no kidding.
I put a video on Twitter so people could kind of see the chaos, but it was so bad, so packed, just packed, like inches from everybody all the time. That's fine, whatever. But as usual, it got a little weird. The weather was perfect. The water was nice. Like, everything was good in the way you want the things to be good. But people are weird, man. So, a couple things happened. About midday, taking a nap, I feel something hit me in the face. I think, my brother-in-law's over there teasing. They're throwing something at me.
Right.
I wake up, turd, right on my face, right on my cheek. Like, what is this? I don't know what this... A bird. So, some bird... Who knows? Maybe it's the sparrow that I sent off into the wild. He got his revenge or something. Yeah. I look up and I see just enough to see this bird shake its feathers off and fly off into the nowhere. Total crapped on while I'm laying there.
15 points. Flap.
Now, the hard part about it is I know people are seeing this because it's too congested with people for them not to notice that I was just pooped on by a bird. So I guarantee somebody said, oh, that dude just got pooped on by a bird. So that happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm panicking, trying to rub it off, and it's all on my arm and my hand. It's spattered on my hair, and I was like, dude, I just got pooped on by a bird. No. I hope that bird didn't have freaking avian flu or something, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
So I'm freaking out about that. Same day, I'm just giving you the outline here. Same day, at some point, I hear this whistle go, like super loud. Mm-hmm. Just ear-piercingly loud whistle. Look over at the pool adjacent to us, turd in the pool. Some kid has pooped in the pool.
It's not a baby Ruth?
Nope. They cleared that thing out. They had some kid, some teenage lifeguard kid with a big long stick poking out of the pool trying to find it. Yeah. Here, guess which pool I'm glad I never got in? That one.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, man. And when you've got a big crowded park and a big crowded family fun center, the last thing you want to do is close one of those things that the kids are enjoying.
Oh, it's horrible. And then what's worse is when they're done, the whistle hits and they like open the gates again and everyone just floods back in there. And I'm thinking, are you all kidding me? You're all going to swim in the turd pool now?
They clean it out. They have to
trust them though. They're like 15 years old and they don't know. I don't trust those kids.
They have to shock the water with some chemicals or something.
Right. It's not enough to me. It's like this, Brian. Oh, sorry, Brian. I put a little cat turd in your orange juice this morning. Let me just clean it out. Trust me. I have all the proper, you know, credentials, and don't worry, it's out, but go ahead and enjoy your orange juice now. You'd never do it.
Point taken. Yeah, I wouldn't. No, not
that's
not
how
a chance.
I feel about that pool. So there's no way I was getting in there. I wasn't going to go in there anyway, because it was already just a people stew and I just didn't want it. So, you know, my days of being a kid where my immune system needed to be built up and I wanted to spend time in, you know, public cesspools, those days are over. I don't want to do that anymore. But I liked the slides and stuff. That was all fun. Here's another problem with the place. They ran out of salads. Now, I'm trying to eat healthy.
Oh, no. Yeah, right.
None of the food establishments had salads. Why? Because we've had our two busiest days of the year, sir, and everyone ate all the salads.
A lot of people want salad.
Yeah, it turns out we didn't order enough. So all they had was like, you know, chalkboard burger crap. It was all crap. And I couldn't eat any. I didn't want to eat any of it. So I ended up living. I subsisted all day on like granola bars and, you know, junk like that. I could have driven somewhere, I suppose. It's not like we were too far from a Subway or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, couldn't eat the food. So that's fun. I had that to deal with. There was plenty of family drama to go around. I'm not going to get into any of it because I don't want to call some of this stuff out. But man, some drama. Ugh.
Really?
Oh, wow. Gosh. A couple of things that. Well, I'll tell you.
How many people from Kim's side of family were there?
Like probably, there's probably 30 of us or something.
Okay, wow.
Decent size, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
And some of that drama was real dumb. So that went down. That happened. Then here's the important bit. All right, okay. Save the best for last. Sounds like a good time at Cherry Hill so far.
All those other things you could kind of get by with, but all right.
Yeah, but this one, this is the mother of all this ones. I'm in this thing. It's like you get into a tube at the top and you ride down in the tube through this big swirly connection of like small pools, but then there's like water slides between them. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of slowly get your way down to the bottom. And it's fun because what happens is you'll kind of get caught in like these little Yeti things where you're what's it called? What's
the
water
pools?
No. Yeah. Kind of like that, except it's a term with like real water when like water bunches up in a space and it makes it so things back up and you can't go with the flow. I can't remember what it's called.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, I'm saying Yeti, but
so
I think that's
like it's basically like a, like you're passing through a bunch of digestive systems and you'll go into another pool.
Yes. And the more people come in there, the more you're forced to the next level.
You'll get pushed out. Yes, right. There's something like that at Waterworld.
Okay. So, similar deal. I don't know if it has even a name.
Don Kelly says Jetty, but I thought a jetty was a piece of land that sticks out, a man-made piece of land that sticks out into a water.
Oh, I thought it was Yeti, which I think
is an eddy.
An eddy?
Yes.
But I thought an eddy was the guitarist and a Yeti was a big white snowman creature. I don't know what to think now.
Eddy, I think is right. Yes.
An eddy. E-T-T-I? E-T-T-Y? What is it? E-D-D?
E-D-D-Y, I believe.
All right. Like Yeti. Like
although Teketsume is still saying Jetty. Yeah, there we go.
It's a Jetty. There we go. All right.
Nope, it's not a Jetty.
It's not a Jetty. It's a Yeti.
He just proved that it is a man-made thing sticking out into the water.
All right. Sweet. So well, that wasn't that. Well, this was man-made, so who knows? Maybe I'm right in some weird way.
Eddy. Fluid dynamics.
All right. There you go. That's what this thing creates.
Yes.
Sorry. So we get jammed up all these tubes. You can have up to four of you holding on to each other. They'll let you do a train, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's fun because there's more momentum and more weight and everything else. What they didn't tell you is that you're
finally makes their way to the exit, then they pull you all through.
Correct. It's like a big. It is weirdly digestive, actually. What Natty mentioned. But you can hear. I mean, you about get your arm yanked out. It's like kind of hard.
Yeah.
Especially when you're getting banged around and stuff. So I'd lose Nick or Carter, and they'd let go, and then I'd find him again, and then hold their thing again. Well, at one point, this is the point. We get down to one of the stomachs, or the eddies, or the whatever the hell you want to call them, the little congestive areas. Yeah, the little pool. And I'm in there, and the only way to get out of here is somebody needs to freaking go. Someone needs to get down that hole.
Okay.
And I look around me, and there's a lady, just some lady, probably in her 30s or 40s or something, lounging on one of these pools like she is just do-do-do-do-do, okay?
Just waiting for the current to finally pull her through. Yep. No active getting out of that stomach.
And way too passive, way too chilling. You know, she is way too just not caring. And it bugged me. It bugged me because I felt some urgency. I'm like, you guys, we need to keep this going. I don't want to sit here with a bunch of strangers staring at each other in tubes. So we need to keep this moving. So I got it in my head. She is teetering near the edge of one of the outways. Okay?
Okay.
There's two of them to get out. And one of them on the left, one on the right, and then a big knob in the middle you had to get around. So right. I thought, I'm never going to see her again. She doesn't know who I am. I don't know who she is. This is a relationship that doesn't even need to exist. So what is the harm in me hauling back and kicking her as hard as I can, tube until she falls out of the thing, and then we can get moving here. And it's no harm done. She's not hurt. Everything's fine, but it's, you know, a little rude. I'm like the elf in the Christmas story saying, you know, right. Poke your eye out and pushing the kid with her foot down the slide.
Right.
So I rear back.
Whoa.
And I did have a moment, Brian, of like, should I do this? Should I push her out? You know, maybe that's not a good idea, but I just said, nope, she's going. This is it. She's way too passive right now. She's not going to help anybody. She's just going to act like she is all, you know, some people in crowds, they don't even know they're in a crowd. They may as well be alone on an island. It doesn't matter. So that's the vibe she's putting off. So I rear back with my right foot and I kick her thing. And I've got big, like, boat sandals on. Okay. Everyone else is barefoot.
Oh, you're not even barefoot.
No. I'm shirtless and I'm in my cutie little shorts there, but I got the shoes because I don't want no freaking fungus from hell from walking around this place.
Uh-huh.
So, and that was fine. That was allowed. But anyway, I kick her tube as hard as I can, just brr, and it just about launches her off of it. She goes lurching toward the edge. The thing gets up on the edge that should be pushing her over and teeters there for a second and then teeters back and she floats back over toward me. And we've had no words, no conversation. She doesn't know my intent. I don't know hers. But she now is floating toward me. And not only that, but her tube has rotated around to where her and I can hail Hydra in each other's ears if we want to.
Now, is she smiling at this point? Does she have a look of, of disdain?
Her content face she had before I took action was gone. Replaced with she's gonna go Wolverine on me or something. She looks mad. and grippy, like she's gripping the edges of her thing real tight.
Oh, no.
And just looks really pissed. So I'm kind of bracing for she's going to say something. And she doesn't say anything. And it's real awkward there for a while because now people are really piling in there. And there are kids going everywhere. My wife's holding on to me someplace behind me with my arm. My arm's like out of its socket, I swear. Nick and Carter, I think, are teetering on the other hole. And that's the problem, is we're wrapped around the two holes. Me, this lady, Kim in the middle, and the two kids on the other side. And neither can win because someone needs to let go. Mm-hmm. So I said, Kim, let go of the kids. And she lets go of the kids. We go wrapping around the other butthole there on the left. And the lady just eyes me the whole time as I'm going down. And I slip.
Giving you the Luigi death stare.
Yep, basically. Yep. Exactly. Well, that's exactly it. Because it was kind of like a slow moving head as I went past her. And we go down that thing like a big lubed up turd just down that thing. And I whip past her and I go, whew, well, that's the end of that. I don't have to deal with her again.
Right.
Well, guess what?
Yeah, you probably just collected in the next.
I get down there. Here's what's funny. I get down there. I get up. Kim gets up. We're giving our tubes to the girl and getting out. I look behind me. Down comes this lady, still looking fried, just angry as all get out. Mm-hmm. Kicks out of her tube too quickly where the current is and ends up kicks out of the tube and the current kicks her feet. She's facing forward. The current kicks her from that direction. To the point that she flips forward and just face plants it right in the bottom of this shallow pool there at the bottom. So now she's really pissed, right? And she's embarrassed because that looked bad. And I'm like, we got to go. Yeah. Kim's like, what's the matter? Just go.
Out of the tube and just running.
Let's get out of here. So we kept moving. And then to top it off, about an hour later, I got stuck in line behind her at the food place only to find out they had no salads like 20 minutes later. So I couldn't shake the lady. Now, we never came to blows. There was never any conversation. But, yeah, she'll be my biggest memory, I think, from Cherry Hill.
Wow.
Yeah. Poor lady. And I had to look at her the whole time. Oh, my gosh, it was hard. Just sitting there in that little swirly pool, knowing what I had tried to do.
Staring you down.
I couldn't think of what it would be like. Like a movie of some kind where somebody does something desperate, like tries to push somebody in the pit so the alien would eat him first, and then it didn't work. And now you got to live with that person.
You got to live with that person, yeah.
Oh, that was awful. That was bad times for me. Anyway, enjoy that, folks. Hey, what's going on with the trivia tournament?
So we had a tournament this weekend.
Yeah.
Went to another, this was a local one. It was at Governor's Park Tavern here in Colorado, which is right next to where the governor lives. Not in a park. He lives in a mansion. And then there's a park adjacent to the mansion. Then there's a tavern right next to that park.
Yeah.
And so we had a team of six. It was most of the people that I usually do trivia with. My Uncle George had his anniversary this weekend, so he couldn't do it. And my buddy Don was in Vegas, so he couldn't do it. But it was a lot of the members of the rest of our team, or a lot of the team was made up of other members. Yeah. And we squeaked by with a 1-point victory and won $1,000 to split between the six of us.
Nice. That's great. Yeah.
I have a few sample questions too.
Yeah, do you? I want to hear one.
I do. You want a couple?
Yeah, give me a couple of these.
All right. Here's the one that that I'm most proud of.
Right.
And this is one that we got to wager points on.
Okay.
And we got 4 points for this. So it was all of these questions were crucial to our victory, but this one,
right.
I felt like really pushed us ahead.
Okay.
Breaking Bad, familiar?
Yeah, I know that show. Yeah.
What kind of car did Walter White originally drive on Breaking Bad?
He drove that green Santa Fe. I'm going to say it's... No. Aztec.
There it is. Pontiac Aztec.
Yep, that's it. Aztec. Okay.
Yes.
In chat room, you can see I wasn't cheating. I'm staring at this gum here.
And judging by the applause after that question, there were not a lot of teams who got that one.
Oh, really?
That's surprising. Because, yeah, I mean, it was so obvious. Like, it was, if you watch that show, you remember it was like the embarrassment of a car.
That's the worst car. No one should own that car ever.
It has a tent in the back.
Yeah, I guess it does. But it just makes him seem more pathetic that he had it.
That's right.
Somehow.
Let's see here. Which one can I repeat? Oh, all right. Well, this is a multi question. We'll go through it fairly quickly.
All right.
90% of all severe food allergies in the world are caused by 8 different foods or kinds of foods.
Okay.
How many of those eight can you name?
Do I have to tell you the number first?
No. Any order.
I'll just name them. So here you go.
Yeah.
Wheat.
Wheat slash gluten. That's one.
That's one. Soy.
Soy, yes.
Milk or lactose. Milk
slash lactose slash dairy, yep.
Yeah. Hold on. I know there's, obviously there's more. Peanuts.
Peanuts, correct. Slash ground nuts.
Ground nuts. So it's, nuts that grow on the ground. Not ones that drag on the ground. That's a whole different problem.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Four. Okay, hold on. That's only four of eight?
That's only four of eight.
Damn it, yep. That's half. Is beef on there?
Beef is not on there.
Okay.
There are proteins on there, but beef is not one of them.
Beef is not one. Okay. Eggs.
Eggs is one, yes. It's five. Three more.
Oh my gosh. Why is this?
You're doing well.
I'm doing all right. I've done better in my life. Is cinnamon on there?
Cinnamon is not.
Okay, my daughter's allergic to cinnamon.
Oh, interesting.
She can't eat it. She blows up like it's crazy. Bad rashes and all that. seaweed? Sushi?
No, even though Kim is allergic to seaweed.
Oh, seaweed. No. Oh, seafood.
Well, sushi? Seafood, yes. And split that up?
Yeah.
Give me two answers for the seafood.
Seafood, let's say crab. No?
Right, shellfish.
Okay,
yes.
Shellfish and the other kind.
Yes, fish.
Fish. Straight up fish.
The other kind. Yes.
How many is that?
That's seven. And the last one, and I'll just tell you the last one, because we put almonds and they give us points for it, but tree nuts is the...
Oh, tree nuts.
Tree nuts.
Because nuts of all... Yeah, nuts are kind of screwed right. Everywhere.
They cause different kinds of allergies, ground nuts versus tree nuts. But we got 8 for 8 on that one.
Wow, look at that. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, we kicked butt.
That's fun.
Kicked the butt.
Well, now you got a little extra spending money for Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Right. In
2 weeks?
In 10 days.
10 days, yeah. That'd be fun.
Something like that.
Well, don't spend it all on one craps table. That's all. That's my only advice to you.
I probably will, sadly, is the...
That's how it will go?
Because that's how it goes, yeah.
I understand.
You walk up to a craps table, if you've got less than $200, you're not doing it right.
Well, the house...
Now, you may not spend all $200 before you start making money.
Yeah.
But... If you walk up there without $200, then...
Well, or just spend it on a lap dance. Speaking of lap dances...
You get a lot of those for $200.
And it's Stumpa Trek Nerd brought to you by...
You've seen the potato salad Kickstarter, right?
Sure.
Well, you know what's even better than potato salad? Besides everything?
Everything.
Grilled cheese sandwiches, that's what. You know what's even better than that?
Hairy knuckles. I don't know.
No, a grilled cheese sandwich cookbook with 31 unique and amazing recipes, one for every day of the month. Check out the 30 Days of Grilled Cheese Kickstarter campaign at tinyurl.com/cheeselife and help us bring grilled cheese spells of amazement to the world.
Now that's cool.
That is cool. There's a little less than 2 weeks left, so don't miss out. That's tinyurl.com/cheeselife.
That's so much better than the
potato salad
thing, yeah. Give me something real, tangible, like real, useful.
Exactly.
Yeah, something I can use in my life. Daryl, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, yes. Good. Wonderful, fantastic. It's Daryl Skeels, everybody. Comes on the show and does Star Trek trivia every freaking day. It's just
Yeah. It's just the way it is. And the pool thing with the lady...
Yeah, the pool. Yeah, yeah.
I would not have reared my foot back 10 feet and whomped her super hard. I would have sneakily snuck her toward the thing, bumping her slightly each time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, excuse me. Oh, no, you've gone over the edge.
I'm sorry.
What you do if you can is to like turn yourself around so that your feet are facing the wall and then kind of push yourself back kind of hard.
I thought about that.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is I was positioned in such a way that I couldn't do either of those things. I had no other leverage. All I had was the people behind me facing her, and I knew if I kicked out at her, that would push back on everybody else and give me a firm foundation to push from. That's the only option I felt like I had. And there was just this split-second moment where I had to decide, am I gonna do this to another human being or not? You know, am I going to boot her as hard as I can, or am I not going to do that? And wow. the evils, the devil on the shoulder won, man. Just
boom. And why didn't you blame Nick? You could have so easily said, oh, Nick, how could you do that?
Because she's looking right at me when I did it. That was the worst part, is like, I don't know. It's like looking Frodo in the eye as you push him into the fires of Mordor. It was really bad.
I'm sorry, Mr. Frodo. I shouldn't have done it. I didn't mean to. I don't mean to, Mr. Frodo.
All right.
I would have shot first, but I would have done it under the table.
That's right. Of course you would have. Anyway.
Do you have any ideas, Spock?
No, I have no idea. But I do have an idea about today's trivia question, which is an original series episode, which is why I played that. It's from the episode, What Are Little Girls Made Of?
Mm-hmm, the Rock, the Android.
You know the one, right? Kirk and Nurse Chapel beam down to a planet where Roger Corby is working on building asteroids. That's weird. He has a beautiful female. That's what it says. On building asteroids? Oh, androids.
Androids,
sorry.
There you go.
Sorry. He's making his own...
Building those asteroids.
He's making a MAME cabinet, and he wants the authentic asteroids experience. He has a beautiful female android. What is the name of this android? Boy, this is a much stranger conversation if that was all asteroid. But anyway,
yeah.
What is the name of the android? Is it Dila, O'Donna, Shauna, or Andrea? So it's Dila, O'Donna, Shauna, or Andrea. Those are your options. Think about them real hard while we play a little bit of this right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
What's a foodie?
You're going to take another from...
Another Oreo?
I think so. I'm going to reach it. Okay. Let's see. I think we should do the green one.
Limeade.
Okay.
All right.
This is Limeade is just almost as weird as the fruit punch ones as far as
definitely weirder, actually, because you don't think of Limeade and vanilla cookies. But I guess lime and vanilla could go together, right?
Dude, they don't smell good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, smell that. Like a diaper.
You make a big mistake every time by smelling something before you eat it. What do you?
That's not bad.
The last one smelled great. These smell like diapers to me.
Oh, these smell fine.
Yeah, mine are fine.
I hope they're all right.
Maybe somebody pooped in them.
I don't think the Oreos are supposed to smell like diapers. All right. Well,
oh, these are black.
Yeah, it's supposed to smell like diapers. All right. Well, let's give it a bite. You guys ready? Let's do this.
Yep.
Let's just go.
Hmm.
Oh, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't hate that. It's fine.
If you soaked an Oreo in 7-Up and ate it, this would be it.
Yeah.
Like, this is key lime pie, as Cleo points out.
Oh, okay.
They should have called it that.
They should have, yeah.
Because that's totally what this is.
Yeah.
Mary, who sent us these?
Heidenberg. Yep, Mary Heidenberg.
Heidenberg.
Heidenberg, not Heisenberg.
No. She's the one that calls. She is the one who... What, how's it go?
She's the one who knocks.
Oh, knocks. I am the one who knocks. I am the one who calls. That doesn't work as well. Oh, I saw Esposito, Gus Fring, in an episode of Bones. My wife is all into marathon watching Bones right now. Two things about Bones I want to mention. One, I saw back-to-back episodes. One had Jesse Pinkman in it, and one had Gus Fring right after that. And this is all before Breaking Bad. This is like 05.
Oh, wow.
This is before those guys were known for anything else. So that was interesting. Second thing I've noticed about the show that I had no idea, the main actress in it, I forget her name on the show. She is Emily
Deschanel's sister.
And
yeah.
It's weird because I didn't know this going in. She doesn't particularly look like her, in my opinion, but her voice is a dead ringer for hers. So all you have to do is close your eyes and hear her talking, and you think it's Zooey Deschanel talking on TV. It's really weird. Anyway, those are the two things I learned about Bones over the weekend. And, oh, here's the other thing, that it's not very good. I learned that. And that it doesn't matter because David Boreanaz makes everything better. He's actually quite the charmer and is easy to watch, and you like that guy a lot no matter what. So Bones is okay. It's CSI again. It's another CSI show, and it's okay. But David Boreanaz makes it better. Nobody? Nobody's a fan of David Boreanaz? That's it? All right. Great. Moving forward. Oh, we lost Brian.
Oh, well, that explains that.
Why he went away. Yeah. Normally, he would have said something. You know, he has new internet and all, Daryl. While we wait to get him back, why don't you favor us with a birthday? Who the hell is celebrating today and why?
That would be Day Young. Is that a... I don't even know who that is. Whoever it is 59.
59?
Are you trying to be funny, Mr. Spock?
That's crazy. 59 years old.
Oh, okay. She was on TNG, DS9, and Enterprise, and played a waitress in Spaceballs.
Okay. Hold on. I'm trying to remember. I was a big Spaceballs guy, so I'm trying to remember what that would have been, and I can't.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know why Brian's not coming back in. I'm going to add him. Are you here still?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm getting him back in. I think his new internet may not be as shiny and wonderful as we've been led to believe. Because since then, we've had some of these issues. He must have crashed or something. Well, that's all right.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he says, I think stuff died here. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
We are still on.
Hang on a second.
Oh, there you are.
Yay!
That's weird.
I think that might have been me, because it looked like...
Yeah, you were heading toward Krustyville toward the end, and then you blinked out, and that was it.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck happened there.
But you sound fine now.
Okay, good.
You sound lovely now.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, no.
Well, you did sound lovely. Oh, you back? Hello?
Yeah?
Nope. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out.
Oh.
Yeah, that's weird. Could be your new internet, you know.
Oh, God, don't say it.
I mean, it could be a fat lady in a tube. Could
no, I know. No, I don't want to hear that.
Well, hopefully it's not that. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, do you want to pause and unpause me and see if that resets anything?
You sound okay now. You look good.
All right.
So we'll hold steady. We'll be okay.
We'll cross our fingers and say, yeah.
Well, happy birthday to that 59-year-old lady that Brian knows nothing about.
I know nothing about her.
Yeah, you know nothing.
She's dead to
Brian,
me.
A bit. So, Daryl, back to your question here. This is the robot, the android. Yeah. And she had a name, and it was either Dila or Odonna or Shauna or... Andrea, which do you say it is?
Well, I didn't blurt it out because some people like to play along, and I've been blurting it out too much lately.
Yeah.
And I like this lady's costume, and if I was a lady type person, I would wear this at conventions all the time.
It'd be your go-to cosplay?
Yeah, it's the cross your heart uniform.
Mm. Oh, like, no, I remember the one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's green and blue, and one leg goes up and across, and the other one goes up and across.
Yeah.
It's just totally goofy. What?
Yeah, it is a little weird, but yeah, I could see you in that cosplay. It'd be hot. So who? Which name, though?
Oh, well, I got to pick one, huh?
Yeah.
That would be Andrea.
Oh, is it? Well, let's find out. Is it?
Congratulations.
No.
You're a winner.
Well, look at that. She's revealed to be an android. Corby also has another android named Ruck. The actor who played Ruck also played Lurch in The Addams Family. Mm-hmm. Funny thing is, the actor who played Mr. Home in the Next Generation episode also played Lurch in The Addams Family movie.
Right.
Yep.
Also, beware the penis rock from this episode. Just do an image search for Kirk penis rock.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Here's a clip of Ruck and Kirk.
The old ones here, the ones who made us, yes. Yes, it is still in my memory banks. It became necessary to destroy them. You are inconsistent. You cannot be programmed. You are inferior.
And Corby.
You came from the outside. You bring disorder here.
The danger to you is Corby.
I was programmed by Corby. I cannot harm him.
The old ones programmed you too, but it became possible to destroy them.
That was the equation. Existence. Survival. Must cancel out programming.
No, Lieutenant Yar. All right. Fantastic. There you go. There's your winner.
You rang.
That voice is pretty hard to not recognize, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we just watched we watched Return of the Killer Tomatoes, and it had the Gomez from the original Addams Family.
That's right. Yes.
It's coming. Oh, everything's coming up Addams Family this weekend. I was talking to somebody about Raul Julia at Cherry Hill, of all things.
Wow.
Movies Gomez. So it's like, no kidding. There's a lesson here. I don't know. But the lesson I know for sure is that it's time to, for us to cut Daryl loose. But before we do, we tell you that he's This Week in Trek's own Daryl Scales. You can listen to that show anytime. It's about Star Trek, and it's great. Him and Mike doing their thing. And also, the Grumpy Cast, and you can follow him on Twitter at TheTrekNerd. Daryl, let's play a game. What is it called this week? You had some weird preview last week. What is it?
Yeah, Star Trek Animal or Anal Infection.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about that.
That's right.
All right, I got to have a theme for that. Here's your theme. There you go. All right, go.
Pinworm.
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 That sounds like a real thing.
It does sound like, yeah, that sounds like something you don't want.
I've never had it, so I don't have any direct experience with it, but I think someone maybe who spent some time in Chile or something once told me about a pinworm he had.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds right to me. We're going to say pinworm is a real bum disease.
And you're right.
Yeah, of course. Look at us. We are nailing it, dude. We're like 100% for the last 12 questions or something.
Yeah, we are.
I think we should be proud of ourselves for all this and more.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the TMS t-shirts. Do you love the show? Well, then wear us on your back at /loot.com today.
Yeah, do that. They're available now at /loot.com.
Okay.
Joining us shortly. And when I say shortly, I don't mean he's
shortly.
We're going to have Steven Schleicher here for the entire news segments today because he is kind of the man about town when it comes to what we're talking about today. If I can get him on the line. I know he's expecting us. At least he should be. Boy, all the technical fun today. Let's see if I can't blow Veronica's first day on the show.
Sorry.
Oh, hello, Steven, hello.
Sorry.
You do not need to be sorry, sir.
Yeah. Multiple windows open and I couldn't find the answer to the phone button.
Well, here's your themes. Steven Schleicher joins us usually just for his tiny segment during the show, but today, different. It's wrap-up day for the Salt Lake, that'll come up in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
For the San Diego Comic-Con, which just ended, I guess, yesterday.
Yep. Yesterday afternoon.
And there's
five days of craziness.
They have no carryover into this week, right? That's literally
No. It ended yesterday, 3 o'clock Pacific time, so everybody could get home and do whatever they're doing. Today, yeah. I expect it to be mighty quiet.
Yeah, I suspect San Diego is all collectively breathing that yearly sigh of relief. At least the locals are.
Yes. Which, you know, I don't know why they would be so upset. Here's the thing. Yeah. Why would you be so upset about 100,000 plus people attending, coming to your city? Because, man, talk about the money that the hotels are making, the tips that the, hopefully tips that the restaurants and the housekeeping people are making,
huge.
Just the merchandising that's going on. There's so much to do in San Diego. Beyond just going down to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
The issue isn't that it's not the government that's saying, gosh, we really hate Comic-Con being here.
Right.
Those guys are raking it in hand over fist with all that stuff. It's the people who have to drive around, who have to commute to work on Thursday and Friday, and there's this influx of Harley Quinns and
Harley Quinns everywhere, dude.
Captain Mal's that are blocking the road.
Yeah.
You look at something like that and you just have to say, well, there's more money coming into our city and that means the roads can be repaired. We can do all these other things.
Yeah.
So
I
think they should look at it as a big positive.
I kind of agree. I think it's easy to look at it on the surface and talk about the inconveniences, but you're right. It's literally multiple millions and millions of dollars of revenue in 5 days.
Right.
Just boom, boom, boom. For every $5 those 100,000 people spend, that's 500 grand
mm-hmm.
every time they do it. And you know they're spending a hell of a lot more than that every 5 minutes in that place. So
yep. Exactly.
It's huge. It's a big deal. And yeah, what are you complaining about? I mean, the only complaint I'd have about California right now is the hellscape drought that is happening there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's far worse things to complain about in California, especially if you're sadly and unfortunately close to one of those fires going on.
Yeah, the fires are bad. The drought is horrendous, which is tied to that. So you look at, I'm every time somebody shows me a map, here's the latest map showing the droughts and where the drought epicenters are. They're horrifying maps.
Yeah.
Like, and they have to go to this deep blood red, mm-hmm. here's where the worst of it is. And it turns out it's almost the entire freaking state.
Yeah. We're in part of that too.
Yeah.
All the way out here. I mean, it extends. I mean, Salt Lake extends all the way through Denver and they did a deep map of the water reservoir and showed how low it was underneath. I don't remember if it was called the Colorado Reservoir or which one it is, but it's a huge underground water system that is
depleting
quickly depleted.
Yeah, we have depleted our California. Groundwater. We could, good job, guys. And Arizona, Phoenix, what are you doing? You got a whole city on the top of the hell rock. What are you doing down there? Come on.
Yeah.
Move out. Plenty of room in the Midwest. Don't come here. Okay.
Oh, what about all the money it'll bring your city?
Yeah, right. Good point. Good point. Speaking of our city, so this is the as far as I'm concerned, was the weirdest thing to come out of Comic-Con. It's not even related to the con itself, but
somehow
in the middle of it, while it was going on, the San Diego Comic-Con organizers sent cease and desist letters to the Salt Lake City Comic-Con organizers directly to them, not to any other cons around the country, specifically to SLC Comic-Con, saying, dude, don't call yourselves Comic-Con as much anymore or at all. Can you shed some light on what the hell happened there?
So I think this actually happened probably a week or so ago, but I think Salt Lake City just decided that it was a good time to send out this press release right in the middle of Comic-Con to make Comic-Con look more like the evil eye. Yeah. So what happened is Comic-Con International : San Diego, which is their official title, years ago, trademarked the phrase Comic-Con with the hyphen in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. This was awarded to them in 2007. So they have Comic-Con as part of their registered trademark.
Okay.
So what they have done in years past, and what basically they're saying in their response to the cease and desist, is that, hey, we're the registered owners of the Comic-Con trademark and confusingly similar variants, which I'm not really sure that they're right on that. When confusion arises regarding our name, we are obligated to protect our mark. And that's from Comic-Con International.
Yeah.
Apparently, Salt Lake City Comic-Con, without the hyphen, wanted to bring one of their wrapped cars down to the show to help promote the Salt Lake City Comic-Con, which quickly, within its second year, became the third largest comic convention in the United States. And it just so happens to be in the backyard of the San Diego Comic-Con. So I think they're a little worried. I think the San Diego Comic-Con organizers are a little worried that Salt Lake City is trying to take away some of their hype.
Yeah. It is a giant thing here. It really exploded like nobody expected. It went huge.
I'm going to guess we're going to hear about 130,000 to 150,000 people attending the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
100,000 people attended the Salt Lake City Comic-Con. So they are neck and neck as far as attendees. Now, the Comic-Con International people went after the Chicago Comic-Con a few years ago because they do have a hyphen in their name. They changed theirs, I believe, to Chicago Comic-Con without the hyphen, and they just made it all one word, C-O-M-I-C-O-N.
Sure.
And then they did put on their website that they're in no way affiliated with Comic-Con International. Wizard World has their Comic-Con. They have the hyphen in it, and they don't have a problem with that. All the way back in 2009, Comic-Con International basically was like, and Baltimore Comic-Con also has a hyphen in their name. Basically, they said that we've never had a problem with anyone, and we don't think that there's an issue with other quote unquote competing.
Well, that's because they're small in their mind,
right? Exactly.
So that's very interesting that they're only freaking out because something potentially could be. Because look, if they get the additional space they're talking about here at Comic-Con for us this year, they're talking about being able to get 165 to 170,000.
That would make it larger than the San Diego Comic-Con. Because San Diego, I think because of the space, the convention space has been really capped for Comic-Con International for several years, and they've had arguments with the city and threatened to leave San Diego multiple times if they didn't expand the space. I think they're capped at like 150 to 170,000 people that can attend that show. Now, of course, this year a lot of stuff spilled out into the gas lamp district.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of stuff outside of the main convention space. But this is a big concern, especially if Salt Lake's able to jump it to 170,000 people. Yeah. They could quickly become the largest comic book convention in the United States.
Well, guess who I'm rooting for? Guess who I'm silently rooting for? Denver, what does Denver do, Brian? Do you guys have a hyphen or what do you do over there?
No, it's Comic-Con, but it's the same spelling or the same done the same way with
the same usage.
One word, capital C, no hyphen.
Oh, there is no hyphen.
Basically, here's the problem. And really, do we have any lawyers? Do you have any lawyers that come visit you on a regular basis?
We have some. We don't have any who come on and talk, but we have plenty of
lawyer segment on this show.
We have lots of lawyer listeners. I know that.
Well, I know when it comes to trademarks, you have to protect your trademark. If you don't, if it falls into common use, you lose the protection of that trademark. We've seen it with Kleenex. We've seen it with aspirin.
It
happened before. We see it very closely with Xerox.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are arguing that Comic-Con is a very generic term and it shouldn't be trademarked. According to the press release that the Salt Lake City Comic-Con sent out, they said that Comic-Con International has been denied a trademark, although you can go and look and see that they were granted it in like 2007.
Sure.
But I think the interesting thing that can kind of protect the Salt Lake City Comic-Con is they don't use the hyphen.
Mm.
And Comic-Con International does use the hyphen. So if it gets down into little semantics of that, McDowell's versus McDonald's can...
Good comparison. That's not bad.
I'm going to use the Coming to America argument.
Nice. Everyone, it's and our lawyers who listen to the show will agree. That's a fine argument to make. Nothing wrong with that. Well, anyway, that's all happening. We'll keep our eye on it because I'm interested. I'm going to be doing a table at Salt Lake Comic Con, and I'm nervous about the last year was so packed, so freaking packed. So this year they've got to make more room. Like that's that. If there's one complaint around here, was that they didn't have enough room for the people that came. And so we'll have to see. The Salt Palace is huge. They just didn't have, they weren't using all the space last year. This year we've got the entire thing.
Were they prepared for the?
I don't think they knew. I don't think they knew it was going to be quite as big as it was. Especially the let's get tickets just today kind of passes, like people who just came for a day on Saturday and just showed up. I mean, I think pre-orders and stuff gave them a good indication, but I don't think they had any idea what they were. That they were so just get those kind of numbers.
Just a couple of other things to kind of keep in note about this whole thing. Comic-Con International. Which it's Comic-Con International hyphen San Diego with this implication that they were also going to do other shows with the Comic-Con International, you know, Kansas City, Comic-Con International, Denver kind of stuff. They actually haven't. The only other shows that they do are WonderCon in Anaheim and the Ape Convention. Interestingly, I think last year Salt Lake City convention took place the same time as WonderCon did, and I think that also further agitated the CCI people.
Right. Plus, we're doing it twice a year now, so we've got our FanX thing, and then the regular con. The FanX thing was a couple of months ago,
right?
And that competed with WonderCon.
Yep.
And it was huge once again. I don't know what took us so long here. I've been saying for 25 years, prime place to have a giant convention for nerds. Mm-hmm. I don't know what took somebody so long to freaking pull the trigger. It's so weird to me that in 2013, we finally got one. So weird. Anyway, moving on, though. Let's get on to this Comixology deal. This is good news. They're going to DRM-free comics for everyone, right?
Not everyone. Oh. That's the thing that people need to keep in mind. Comixology is going mostly DRM-free. A lot of people have been saying, and we've talked about it before on Comic Dorks, and it'll be great to get Scott Kurtz's reaction to this.
Yeah, I agree.
That, you know, we're basically renting our comics because there's no way through Comixology to download the comics that we've had, back them up, or just read them offline.
Yeah.
And so this week at the start of the San Diego Comic-Con, they announced that anyone who wants to download DRM-free comics can do so through the Comixology website. And it's real easy. I've been downloading. I think I downloaded about 100 of them this morning. You can just download them in either a CBZ format, which is a compressed format that you can use with many different comic book readers applications, or you can download them in a PDF format. And again, you can put those on a bunch of different mobile applications. The little catch is not every publisher is DRM free, or at least they're not on board yet.
Yeah.
The companies that are on board are Image Comics, Dynamite Entertainment, Zenoscope Entertainment, Monkey Brain Comics, Thrill Bent, and Top Shelf Productions. Those are the companies that are on board right now.
No DC or Marvel.
No DC or Marvel yet. Mm. And it will be interesting to see if they actually go through with that, simply because those companies are so crazy when it comes to their music copyrights, their movie copyrights. It'll be interesting to see if they do it. But if a number of people are demanding it, they may bow under pressure. I think what Comixology needs to do is they need to get about 20 more publishers on board. They need to get Archie on board. They need to convince Dark Horse to come back on board to Comixology. I think if they can get those two and maybe a few more, the other one that's not here is
IDW.
IDW.
Yeah.
They've got their own app. So if they can get all of those guys on board, then DC and Marvel will probably have to bow to that pressure at that point to do it. Now, there's been some rumors that perhaps a couple of the publishers aren't happy with this announcement and will be leaving.
Oh.
And people are pointing at DC and Marvel, but the head PR guy over at Comixology says, no, that's not even the case. Yeah. So Chip Mosier is their head PR guy.
I think this is the kind of movie you can only make now that you have the backing of Amazon.
Well, yeah.
This wouldn't have happened before this. There's no way.
Right. No. But I mean, still people are upset about not being able to do the in-app purchases because, again, I like, and somebody else pointed out this weekend, that when I get to the end of an issue, I don't want to have to go open a browser, purchase the next issue, and then download it into my Comixology app. I want to be able to do it inside the app itself. But it's super easy. Just go over to Comixology.com, log into your account, and then you're going to see a new menu item that's called My Backups. You go onto that and you'll see every comic that you've purchased that you can get for DRM, that's DRM free, and you can just download it as a PDF or CBZ, and it works great. Now, it should be pointed out, and I think Scott Kurtz pointed it out, that all the companies that are currently on board with this DRM free backup are already companies that are offering DRM free versions of their comics through their web store. Thrillprint is Mark Waid's company. Image Comics has been doing this for years. In fact, you can actually get it cheaper if you go over to Image Comics website and purchase your CBZ or PDF DRM free comic there. You can usually get it about a buck cheaper.
They're much cheaper over there, and they've been trying to position themselves as sort of leading in that charge for a while now. So it makes it makes perfect sense that they're willing to jump on board.
Yep. I think it's, to me, this was the biggest announcement at the convention.
It's a big deal, man. Digital comics moving forward, and as they continue to grow, and these cons are just reflective of how this culture is starting to spread out, and it's even going backwards and affecting positive sales on the comic side.
Right.
It makes sense that these things would happen.
I forgot. I don't have the story. It's over at Major Spoilers, but they did a trend that comic book sales are up to $870 million in 2013.
Yeah.
They totaled it. And about a third of that, I think, is what they said came from digital comic sales.
Wow. Well,
so $870 million in comic sales in 2013. That's actually a big number.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's not $1 million per issue that it used to be back in the 1940s and 50s. But it's still nothing to sneeze at when you're looking at the comic book industry as a whole.
Yeah, I agree. Looking at the whole of stuff that happened on stage, a big deal was the sight of Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman on stage at once.
Yeah,
but you got your Gal Gadot there, as the Wonder Woman there.
That was pretty cool. It was really the Warner Brothers panel was really, really weird for some reason. In fact, all of the big Hall H presentations I thought were really strange. So everyone was anticipating that we were going to see something from Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
And people were thinking, oh, this will come, later in the hour. But boom, first thing that comes out, Zack Snyder steps out. He says, hey, we're working on this. Hey, let's bring out Ben Affleck, and let's bring out Henry Cavill, and let's bring out Gal Gadot. Here they are on stage. They stood there. They said nothing to the audience. They didn't shake hands with the audience.
Oops.
And basically, right after they waved and showed their little video and the images, hustled them off the stage and with the verbiage of "we've got to get back to work."
That's a really odd thing.
That was the weirdest freaking thing I've ever seen. It was just like, here they are, waved hands, they didn't say anything, and shuffled them back off rather quickly.
An opportunity.
I thought so too. Now there was one part where
opportunity too. By the way,
right?
It's not cheap. Yeah. I can't be cheap to roll those three up on stage and have them do nothing and then go home.
No. Now there was a part where Ben Affleck came out first, and he's wearing a black jacket and black T-shirt, and then Henry Cavill comes out next and wearing a white shirt and blue jeans.
Yeah.
And at first, when I saw that, because they're kind of looking at each other like there's some animosity going on there, I'm like, holy crap, that looks like the costumes that they wore in The Dark Knight Returns. And sure enough, if you go and see The Dark Knight Returns, I think it's issue 3 of that.
Yeah.
There's a couple of pages where Clark Kent comes to visit Bruce Wayne, and Bruce Wayne's, giving his horse a rub down and everything. And Superman is wearing a white shirt, unbuttoned, with this god awful big belt, just like Cavill is, and blue jeans.
Yeah.
And Bruce Wayne is wearing a jacket with a T-shirt. Now, the only thing that's different is in the comic, Bruce Wayne's jacket is brown. And I was like, holy crap, are they showing us the costumes without really, letting us know?
Moreover, they keep tipping their head in the direction of, yes, we are making Frank Miller's Batman.
So they showed a video clip, which has people going nuts. And, it as fast as it goes up on YouTube, somebody takes it down. So if you go and see it, go and watch it. But essentially, here's what happens. It's a dark and stormy night in Gotham, right? You see these white glowing eyes, and it turns out to be Batman in his battle armor suit from Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
This big spotlight lights up next to Batman, and it's the Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns Batman logo on that.
The fat bat, I like to call it.
Yeah. The light shines up into the sky, and as the camera tilts up to see what it's pointing at, the spotlight is illuminating Superman, who's just floating there in the sky in the dark.
But and his eyes are glowing.
Yeah, you cut to his face, and his eyes start glowing red, and then you cut back down to Batman, and his eyes are glowing bluish white.
Yeah,
and then it just cuts to the logo.
I'm not going to lie. The video that someone phone footage footage they put up, even that, and even though I really didn't like Man of Steel.
Yeah,
I am genuinely freaking out about this.
Did you? You probably saw the same video that I did, and it's you hear one of these guys as soon as it cuts to Superman with his eyes start glowing red. You hear this guy going, "Oh, ass! Ass!" You know, just screaming this word over and over again, and just freaking out.
The place lost their crap. Like,
yeah, they did.
They must have been very, when everyone just left, that must have been a real downer. But
I'm just surprised that they said nothing. That is the thing. Not even just, "Hey, we're doing this movie and it's going to be great," and rah, 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 and getting the actors to at least say something.
Yeah.
They said nothing.
Yeah.
What a waste.
I hear there's always rumors floating around that Ben Affleck is super stage frighty, and there's maybe some weird chance that he just couldn't hack or something. I always hear this, that he hates it. He can't stand it. I don't know. It could all be bull crap, but I've heard that.
Chris Hardwick was the moderator on the panel. And I know that they pre-planned some of these things ahead of time. So he could have just said, "Hey, here are the questions. Here's one question that I'm going to ask you. Each of you get one question from me and one response and move forward with that." But they didn't even do that.
Yeah.
They did, though, show three posters to the audience. They showed Superman, the one that we've already seen before, standing in the rain in his costume.
Yeah.
The black and white Batman photo of him looking all broody next to the Batmobile.
Yeah.
And we got to see Gal Gadot in her Wonder Woman getup.
Oh, you mean her dried blood colored costume?
She is a warrior.
I understand. Yeah. Look, I understand also Zack Snyder's vision for things, and I understand the look of Legendary Pictures, all movies, like every movie Legendary makes. It's all muted colors and stuff. Mm-hmm. But maybe this is DC's way of separating themselves a little bit from Marvel. But Marvel's gone for, you know what? We're going to be colorful as hell. It's going to be colory and colors and... These guys have said, nope, everything's going to be kind of monotone and dark. And I guess maybe that's all right. I don't know.
Man of Steel kind of did that. And one can argue that certainly the three Batman movies that Nolan did were very similar and didn't have a lot of bright, shiny colors. Yeah. And I think that's okay. I think in this case with the Gal Gadot image that that Warner Brothers released, we are looking at something that's definitely a tritone or pentatone color added over to an image.
Yeah.
And so even though this does look very... like she's wearing nothing but brown or what I say bronze for her outfit. I think if you were to remove that, I think you're going to see a little bit more color seep through.
If you haven't seen it, you want to know what color it is, here's my suggestion. Have a real bad bloody nose during the night. Wake up in the morning and your pillow will be that weird copper brown. That's the color they chose for the red.
I like the costume. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, that doesn't look... I mean, she's wearing more... in this picture than you see a lot of times in the comic books.
Oh, no.
Are people
complaining about that? They think she's being sexualized or something?
People are complaining from the costume being too revealing to, she's got heels on her boots and how...
I'm genuinely shocked by that because I was actually, I was of the camp of like, oh, this, now look at this. They haven't gone for the cheap thrill here of here's a hot chick in a bikini.
She's more covered up. She's not got cleavage showing all over the place. She's wearing the warrior boots, you know, with the shin guards. Yeah, she's got heels.
We're swinging the other way as usual. That's all this is. It drives me crazy.
You know, people are complaining that the sword is bigger than her arm and all this stuff. And it's like, come on, people, really? I mean, you're getting Wonder Woman. A Wonder Woman on screen, and hopefully the creators do such a great job with her that this is going to spawn a lot more strong female superhero movies.
That's the theory. If Zach plays his cards right, then yes, that's what we should get, and that should be a good thing for people. I'm excited about it.
It should be. I mean, Lucy, I think, was number one box office this weekend, which some people are saying, oh, well, this should prove that, you know, Scarlett Johansson can pull off a Black Widow movie, which may be fine. And I hope that we see a Black Widow and Wonder Woman go up against each other in the box office some weekend in 2017.
Yeah, I'd be all right.
But unless you can pull off these strong characters in the ensemble movies, it's going to be really hard to convince audiences en masse to go to see the...
No, this is their biggest test, dude. This is it.
Yeah. I think she looks wonderful. I think it looks great. And I can't tell you, Scott and I were exchanging emails back and forth, Brian, over the weekend. And I'm excited about this. I am more excited about this movie than anything else that came out of San Diego Comic-Con as far as the comic book movie adaptations go.
Right.
Cool.
Well, I think what we'll do here, let's move. We got a couple more things I want to hit. I think we're going to do the break yet. Yeah, I'll shorten it a little bit. We just won't do the break until we're done here. Can we talk about that Mad Max trailer just for a second? You've seen it, right?
I have. Yep. Okay. It's up on the Major Spoilers website.
Brian, did you end up seeing it?
I saw it too.
Okay. Yep. I could not be more excited than I am right now for a new George Miller movie, specifically this movie, Fury Road. And I think Tom Hardy is going to be great. I think that trailer's interesting because Tom Hardy is almost not the star of the trailer. Mm-hmm. The star of this trailer is the essence of the Mad Max trilogy right. is the star of the trailer. And the explosions, the cars, the for whatever reason, people riding out in the sunroofs with weird armor on, freaking each other out about who owns the gas rights to whatever. That's I want this so bad. I can hardly wait for this to happen. What do we know about like release dates or any of that crap? Do we know?
All we know is it's in 2015 May is what I know. They released like four new posters to go along with the trailer release, which is really, really cool. And yeah, there's some scary characters that are going to be in
it. Looks great. And I'm telling you, man, George, this isn't just some slap together remake. This is George Miller.
Yep.
The guy. Mm-hmm. He took a long break making Penguin cartoons and freaking Pig in the City, Babe movies. But, you know, between all that, he still had something brewing, something left from his Mad Max days. And here it's going to be. And I cannot freaking wait for this.
Yeah, during his panel, he was saying that because of technology has changed, he can do so much more than what he was able to do previously. And that's why he decided to come back to the franchise. So is this a reboot? Is this a continuation? I have no idea. From what I'm seeing, it looks like this is a reboot to the franchise.
Well, so what I read was that this picks up right after the end of the original Mad Max. So essentially what he's doing is rewriting Road Warrior is what he's doing.
There you go.
And that makes sense because he gets, well, the trailer's not really spoiling anything, but he's being kidnapped mm-hmm. in this trailer. And there's a huge part of him getting smuggled away in Road Warrior. So if this is a remake of Road Warrior, which I think is the best of the trilogy,
yeah,
I'm totally cool picking up here.
And a lot of people have said
something that just gets wedged between Mad Max and Road Warrior.
Yeah, could be that.
A lot of people have said that this trailer seems to outbay Michael Bay.
I would agree. If you're looking for a bunch of explosions and stuff, then yeah, you should be excited about this. But also, what he's excited about so much, it's not just like, oh, we can do green screens and a bunch of computer mm-hmm. stuff. What he's saying is, we can make these practical effects 1,000 times better because what we're dealing with now is technology that lets you make stuff that is subtly real and not over the top. You know, we're not animating giant lizards here.
Right.
We're just saying, how can we make this scene look real gritty and down to earth, but do it in a way that you could never have done with film technology back in the past? Mm-hmm. That is my favorite kind of effects work right now. Yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
Explosions are safer. Wire work is safer.
Mm-hmm. Bring it, man. Oh, my gosh. I love Tom Hardy anyway. I got a dude crush on Tom Hardy.
Some of those visuals of, like, the vehicle that's got the four swingy swingy sticks on them with people at the ends of them that can droop down anytime they want.
Yep.
Incredible.
If that is not the essence of Mad Max, it's all about people. Everyone has gone insane. Everyone's eating each other, and they're hanging from sticks, you know?
Goofy automobile mods is what that movie's all about.
Yes. Yep. And at some point, someone needs to be in a mask and say, just walk away. Just walk away. Oh, I can't wait. All right, real quick, the Ultron panel.
Yeah.
You get your...
You want to talk Avengers or you want to talk Ant-Man?
Let's talk... You know what? Screw Ant-Man. They showed a thing, and Brian will be excited because they showed a little sequence of him flying across a room. It's like a heist movie we know and things like mm-hmm. that, right? Mm-hmm. It looks good. That all looks good.
Okay.
But I feel like Age of Ultron is where the bread's going to be buttered for them next year.
And that's kind of what they really focused the Marvel Studios panel on. They talked to Ant-Man for about 20 minutes, and then the rest of the time was Avengers. And so during the Avengers part, the audiences got to see this clip where it was Iron Man and Captain America and Bruce Banner standing around trying to pick up Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
And, of course, Bruce Banner can't do it. Iron Man can't do it. Steve Rogers kind of gets the hammer to move a little bit. And then they're interrupted by this creepy... a robot crawling its way to them and saying, hey, you will all be exterminated. This will, you know, let me find the exact phrase. But essentially, if...
any of this footage leak?
No, none of this footage has leaked online yet. I think that the security was super tight during that panel.
Yeah.
Which was the weird part.
I'm always surprised when anything gets out. It always shocks me. But anyway.
Yeah. So Ultron comes creeping out and says, there's only one path to peace, your extinction.
Ooh.
And then the video was just a bunch of cuts of fights and battles. And at one point, Tony Stark standing there with all of the other Avengers and their stuff scattered around, laying on the floor, with a voiceover from Scarlet Witch that says, "Nothing lasts forever."
Ooh, Scarlet Witch talk doing a voiceover. Goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
I was playing with her a little bit this weekend on that Marvel Heroes game. Anyway.
People went nuts over that. And so it looks really exciting. That movie comes out next year. Joss Whedon wasn't there. He had a knee surgery and so wasn't able to attend. But he did send a videotape message, as Scarlett Johansson wasn't able to be there as well. She's really pregnant or in the process of having her child.
Yeah.
So she wasn't able to be there. But they did wheel out Josh Brolin, who will be playing Thanos in the film, or Thanos in the film.
Hold on. Wheeled him? Oh, you just mean like figuratively wheeled him out. Yeah. Brought him out. Okay. I was like, I know he went through rehab, but I guess everything's okay now. All right, good.
Yeah, no, he wasn't wearing a
Who's the Vision
of the
then?
Lamb's mask.
Who's the Vision?
That Paul is Bettany? The Bentley. Yeah.
Bentley.
The guy who does the voice of Jarvis.
Right. Exactly. That's Paul Bettany. But wait, who's so Vision is the voice of Jarvis? That's Paul Bettany?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What? How did I miss that?
So the big thing in this, and this is why a lot of people are kind of weirded out by it, because there is an Ant-Man movie. In the comics, Ant-Man, Hank Pym, creates Ultron.
Yeah.
In the Age of Ultron movie, Tony Stark's AI Jarvis becomes Ultron. That shouldn't be a spoiler, because that's stuff that's been out there in the wild already for a long time. Yeah, so it's not a surprise that the antithesis of Ultron would be the Vision, and that is voiced by Bentley.
You know what? That's exciting now. I like where they're going with that whole twist. Bring that movie on. I'm ready. My body's ready.
Yeah, I can't wait for it either. It's going to be an exciting time. Other news that came out of that panel, Guardians of the Galaxy is already getting a sequel before it arrives in theaters. It's got 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes from the professional reviewers. Gunn was on Adam Carolla podcast a few weeks ago, basically saying, hey, if this movie does good, I'm already contracted to do Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
And so the release date for that will be July 28th, 2017.
Did you hear about, this is just a note I noticed as I was going to these reviews. By the way, 25 reviews so far, all 100%, all happy. Everyone loves it. We're going this weekend. I can't wait. Daniel Radcliffe, a.k.a. Harry Potter, running around the con as Spider-Man and nobody noticed.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, I didn't hear about that.
The
That's
whole time.
Awesome.
He's all sweaty, too. They have these photos of him taking the mask off, and he's pitting out like a horse. But he was rolling around as Spider-Man the whole time.
Peter Jackson was walking around as a scary mime, and nobody caught him. And then Jack Black was wearing like a stormtrooper helmet, and it was nailed within like 30 seconds of stepping on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. I mean, I know Adam Savage got around with his alien thing, and nobody noticed that one. Right. That's so funny when these guys do that. But I like the Spider-Man move because it's so common that nobody even wants to picture with you, because there's a billion Spider-Mans to do pictures with.
Right.
It's almost better. Now you've really melted into the woodwork. Nobody really would ever suspect the Harry Potter's in that thing.
Yep.
I love that idea. I just love that common folk are milling around with Harry Potter actors.
Even knowing.
And then I realize how sad that is when I say it. All right. One last thing
before I get out
of here. Yeah. Go ahead.
How does this strike you for the crossover of all crossovers, Brian? Planet of the Apes meets Star Trek.
Holy shite.
I saw that in the notes. All right. Tell me,
explain.
Me more.
We know nothing more about this except that the original crew of the USS Enterprise will team up with Taylor, Nova, and the cast from the original Planet of the Apes. It's an IDW Boom Studios crossover that's been fully endorsed by CBS and 20th Century Fox. And it will be coming out, I want to say, in November, December. But it's going to be one of the craziest crossovers that I've ever seen.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Doctor Who one was pretty weird.
Yeah, they've done Doctor Who. I mean, they've done Legion of Superheroes. They've done Star Trek and X-Men.
Yeah.
But Star Trek and Planet of the Apes just seems so weird because that's our planet. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I just want to see William Shatner in the cage being hosed down, going, "It's a madhouse."
Oh, that would be brilliant.
Madhouse.
Okay, so it's not next gen. It's TOS. Cast.
No, it's TOS original.
That's even better, dude.
Yeah.
Shirtless Kirk. That's what we're gonna get. We're getting shirtless Kirk.
But I wonder if what's his name, Taylor, is going to get in a fight with Kirk over who gets to kiss Nova.
Oh, see? You could write this stuff, dude. Why aren't you in Hollywood making this?
Yeah, the final scene is Spock standing at the Statue of Liberty going, fascinating.
Yeah, right? That's what you're like, yeah. You damn dirty. Fascinating. Yeah, that's our planet. Fascinating.
Bones would be the one to say, get your hands off me, you damn dirty.
Yeah, he would totally would.
Yeah.
Oh, if they don't do that, then they're missing a giant opportunity.
Yep.
I'm a doctor, not a veterinarian.
This, ladies and gentlemen, essentially wraps up our coverage of SDCC. And, Stephen, I knew this was going to be a fun time, and it turned out to be more fun than I even expected. So thanks for hanging out and doing this with us.
Sure, no problem.
Don't forget, he's here every Monday, usually with a smaller segment. Today we just blew it out, but he can be found at Major Spoilers online at majorspoilers.com, the site I used every day to find out what was happening at
Comic-Con. A lot of stories.
Yeah, it was amazing. And go look at the wrap-ups. That's good stuff. Yep. You have like a top 10 deal people should be reading. Yeah,
we do. Top 10 biggest stories. List. Some of those we covered.
Yeah.
And but there's a lot more still over there. And you can find that over at MajorSpoilers.com.
Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven Schleicher, thanks, man. We'll see you soon.
Take care, guys.
All right. Let's all go see Guardians this weekend. Hot
sounds
damn.
Sounds great to me. I'm going Friday night, man, for sure.
We are going to
see Apes, by the way.
Oh, you did? Hold that thought. I want to hear what you thought. We'll talk about it at length before emails. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Veronica Belmont will be here. Got some gaming news to sift through and launch our video game segment on Mondays. Yay. With Veronica Belmont. Pretty stoked about that, so stay tuned for that. Let's do some music, though, and then come back. So okay. What do you got for me?
All right. Hey, Squirrel Girl and Bucky.
Mm.
Nice. Mm. Great references to a couple, lesser-known comic
you can,
Marvel
You can play characters. Her in that Marvel Heroes game, and it's weird seeing her roll around. It's strange, but anyway.
Yeah. Super powerful. She's defeated Dr. Doom.
Yep. Think about that.
I was listening to the N14 audio files and realized that this is the third Nerdtacular that I've listened to since becoming a Frog Panther. It's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. I hope I can make it out to Snowbird next time. I'm writing in today because on Monday, July 28th, I successfully graduate the first year of my 30s. I'd be really grateful if you could play an acoustic cover of any song by my favorite group, hip-hop group Jurassic 5. If you can't find any good ones, I always enjoy any chiptune covers you choose.
Nice.
Thanks for making my bleary-eyed mornings bearable. Be a slow bro, Jeff. Right. Bro, a slow bro. There it is.
Pretty good.
So I lean more towards the latter part of his request about a chiptune. And this is from the kind of tangential friend of the show, Professor Shy Guy, from his newest album, Rhythm and Bloops. And it's a cover of the Black Streets' No Diggity, and also features Brental Floss, Mega Ren, Samus, and K Murdoch. So here's Professor Shy Guy with all those people and a cover of No Diggity.
Here it is. Oh, that's weird. Why didn't it move over there? Hold on. I just got to move that over there. All right. No diggity. Here it is. No diggity, everybody. We'll be back in a minute. Please stay tuned because I'm telling you, it's the internet sweetheart, Veronica Belmont.
What? What?
What? Coming on the show. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Uh-huh.
No diggity.
This is really happening.
No doubt.
Professor Shy Guy. Mm-hmm. Remix.
Play on, players.
A classic. Mm-hmm. To another on, classic. Players. Mega Ran, let's go.
It's going down, fade to Black Street. The homie got at me. Collaborations are crazy like Taxi. No doubt, I put it down, never slack. Long as my socks match, you never hear a Rand coming whack. Tell me who can stop when Rand making moves. Attract you honeys like a tractor beam. Multiple eargasms are happening. Still bringing this flavor with Professor Shy Guy, the original 8-bit singer.
Sure to get down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bet you don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the pound. Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day, Nintendo play away. I can't get her out of my mind.
Well,
think about the girl all the time.
Well,
east side to the west side, pushing fast rides, and it is no surprise. She's got tricks in the stash, stacking up the cash fast when it comes to the gas. Vroom, vroom, by no means average. She's on it when she's got to have it. Baby, you're a perfect 10. I wanna get in. Can I get down so I can win? I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
Got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
Got to bag it up.
She's got class and style. Street knowledge by the pound. A baby never act wild. Very low-key on the profile. Catching villains is a no. Let me tell you how it goes. Herbs a word, spins a verb. Love a dick curve, so freak what you heard. Only with a fatness. You don't even know what the half is. You've got to pay to play. Just for sure to bang bang look your way. I like the way you're working. Trump tied all day, every day. You're blowing my mind, baby, in time. Maybe I can get you in my ride.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
Got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
Got to bag it up.
Bag it up, friend.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
Got to bag it up.
Rentals.
I like the way you work it.
So cool.
to Black Street. What you know about me? Not a motherfucking thing. Cartier with a frame sported by my shorty. Ask for me. Icy Gleam, pinky diamond ring. We be the baddest click up on the scene. Ain't you getting bored with these fake ass bras? Our shows and proves, no doubt. I'll be taking you so. Please excuse if I come across rude. That's just me. And that's how a player's got to be. Stay kicking game with a capital G. Ask the people on my block, I'm as real as can be. Word is born, faking moves never been my thing. So make a ring, pass the word to your homie, rent a floss. I'll be sending the car to say around 3:30. Simmons and Shy Guy, it's no diggity.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity, no
tag it up.
Tag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
got to tag it up.
Tag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
Let me back that up, man.
What?
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
Paper
no
and plastic.
Tag it up.
I like the way you work it.
Run the floor.
Got to tag it up. I like the way you work it. All your names too. Yeah. I like the way you work it.
With
got to bag it up
with Sam.
I like the way you work it. I like it very much.
Bag it up.
I'm out of here. No diggity.
Message for Ronald McDonald.
Guys, I do believe this mailbox is addressing me. McDonald's Happy Meal.
Hamburger.
Sorry.
Size. Now that's what I call special delivery.
Are you trying to be funny, Mr. Spock?
The Morning Stream. A little dabble, do ya?
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hope you enjoyed all your comic-y goodness.
I hope you enjoyed the single F-bomb in that song. That was pretty good.
Oh, God, was there?
There was.
I'm sorry.
Imagine a word.
That.
Imagine.
It was real. It was the Nicki Minaj part or whoever that was, the kind of rappy lady part. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Gotcha. Oops.
And the something with the Mario dibbity-doo. Whatever. We're like PG-13 around here. We can slip one in occasionally.
Yeah, every once in a while, sure.
It's just usually not us. Usually.
Hey, look at the shirt you're wearing. It was just pointed out to me in the tadpole, which you haven't joined yet, by the way.
What? The tadpole?
They haven't logged into the tadpole.
Oh, I haven't gotten in there yet?
Nope.
Oh, it says I'm in.
I like your free play shirt.
You know what? I was in, and it kicked me out.
Oh, see?
Am I not allowed in anymore?
Did you drop an F-bomb in there?
No, there's some kind of weird hosty problem. I can't get in. Well, that's all right.
Oh.
It's okay.
Great. Then they can say whatever they want about you, and you'll have no idea.
No repercussions. As the word goes. All right. Folks, it's time for this time where we're going to do something really cool. Pretty excited about it. We're going to add our good buddy, our good friend of the program, Veronica Belmont, to the call and see what's what in her world. Hello, Veronica. Yay. Are you there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good morning.
Fantastic. You sound so chipper for a Monday morning.
Weirdly, yes. I don't...
I'm sure it's this segment this morning. Yeah, exactly.
I'm only half a cup in, so still a lot more excitement to go.
There's plenty of morning left.
This is Veronica at five. She hasn't even hit 10 yet.
Wow. Well, halfway Veronica is good with me. We're going to get into this. I think this is our theme for you. Here we go. That sounds like video games is what that sounded like to me. And Veronica is our newest segment person. She's going to come on Mondays and we're going to talk about the latest and greatest in gaming news. Some of the stories that bump out and jump out at us. And we're super stoked to have you. So thanks for doing this.
Of course. Thank you. Do I have like a segment name? Is there like
I don't know. Veronica's Game Closet. That's terrible. How about we need a name. Who wants to do it? You know what? We could put it to the community and see what kind of terrible thing they come up with.
I love it.
You will not win anything except the knowledge that your name won.
Well, you know, I was doing the Let's Play videos over on Diamond Club for a while, and I'm going to go back to start doing them again. And one of the top picks for the name was Let's Play with Veronica.
Oh, wow. Well, see, that's pretty straightforward.
Like, you know what?
The comma's very important in there, isn't it?
Very important. Very important.
Well, no matter what they come up with, I'm sure it'll be fine. But what's more important is the content itself. And I'm excited about this because for the longest time, we just thought, you know, why no Veronica more in things we do around here, especially in like the flagshipy things. And it starts to gnaw at you. And when you suggested that we should do something in Nerdtacular, it was like, well, duh, what are we doing here? Let's make something happen. You like controllers. You like video games. You like stuff. You also end up having to go to, like, CES every year.
Oh, yeah. I didn't go last year, and it was actually kind of awesome.
It was probably all right, to not have to go.
The first time in like 10 years. But,
it's kind of a crazy madhouse, right?
There's always crazy fun stuff to check out, though.
Sure. And one of the interesting things in the last couple of years has been Valve software, Valve in general, has used that as the platform for showing off a lot of what they're doing. Less so at like E3 or other strictly gaming conventions. GDC is a big thing for them, but they showed off this controller for their Steam Box, which some people immediately liked. Some people were immediately skeptical of. It had these weird like touch pads and stuff. And then it's been through all these weird iterations. What do we know about the current state of things with that weird controller?
Yeah, so we're on the third iteration right now. And what's really interesting is they're trying to optimize these controllers for, you know, first person shooters on, you know, being able to have that precision that you get playing first person shooters on a PC or any game that really requires a lot of precision. Mm. You know, having that is really it gets you a leg up on the competition.
Sure.
And that's something that people feel sometimes we lose moving into the console space with console controllers. So they tried adding this touchscreen, and then they had these you know, taking out the analog sticks. But now we have this third design. It was pulled up by SteamDB, and they've done some new stuff. It feels like every time we see a new iteration of this controller, they add more buttons and change things up in a major kind of way. And this is definitely the most typical looking version of a controller that we've seen from Steam so far.
Yeah.
So it's opted to forego, as they write on the IGN article, an analog stick in favor of two trackpads and a touchscreen. But then that touchscreen was dropped, and now more buttons were added. So now we're seeing this controller that looks kind of like an Xbox controller in a lot of ways, but still has a lot of that touch capacity. And they're saying there's going to be a lot of feedback built into the controller, so you can actually sense when things are changing in your environment and being a lot more receptive to those kinds of changes. So it's really cool. I can't wait to get my hands on it. I haven't yet.
Yeah. I really want to try. I'm going to want to try the newer iteration because, I mean, when you first see the old one, you're like, ooh, I don't know, man. I understand what you're trying to do here. Like, they wanted to have an interface that you could play Dota 2 well with because, you know, how is that usually accomplished? Well, they competitively play in something like Dota 2. You need a mouse and a keyboard. And they wanted to replicate some of that precision, like you mentioned, but also some of the complexity of a keyboard mouse combination with those weird circular pads, and they have this haptic feedback, so you kind of know when you've gone too far off to the left or the right or whatever. I feel like this is a bit of a concession, though, for them to
right.
kind of
don't
back
you feel
off.
Like they're kind of I feel like they're kind of giving up some of that new cool stuff that we've never really seen before to make it more conventional, to make it work maybe for more people, but at the same time we're losing some of that like step into the future that I was kind of excited about, like, oh, you know, this is totally different, it's something we've never really had before, I'm excited to try it. And now I'm kind of like, well, this is getting to be more like a regular controller, I'm not as excited, but I still want to check it out.
Yeah, to me it's like It's weird because the video game business is so iterative, and especially when it comes to hardware. They can't go too crazy too quickly, or there's a lot of backlash, or sales don't reflect the quality of the innovation. So, you know, Microsoft having sort of spent the last little while licking their wounds after making such a big deal about on all the time and cameras always listening and the Kinect being a huge part of the experience and all of these things that gamers kind of lashed out about. Kind of bit them in the butt. Their sales are down. They are not focusing on that stuff anymore. We're never going to know what the world would have been like with what they had promised because they have backed down on all that and stuff and said, no, you don't have to worry about it anymore. We're just going to focus on core gaming. And in a way, that's good because everybody can stay in their Xbox comfort zone. But in a lot of ways, it's like, well, wait, I kind of wanted to see what this world might have looked like where some of your innovations may have really changed things up or affected the industry as a whole. So when I see somebody like Valve also backing down and kind of, it's hard to say that they're kowtowing to people's complaints, but, and maybe this is simply their engineers going, you know what, dude, we totally need an analog stick on this freaking thing. Because we, as hard as we try, as much as we want this to be awesome,
we just can't play the game. It's just not working.
Right. And the 360 is so successful on Steam as a platform. Yeah. You know, you can't mess with that too much. So it is interesting because basically they're still keeping all of this weird, a lot of the weird touch stuff. But like you said, adding buttons and putting on an analog stick maybe is just enough to put it in a place where it's usable by people who fear change.
They're like, guys, we can't play the game with no buttons.
Right.
It's just we've tried really hard, and it's just, you know, we need those buttons.
We need some damn buttons. So our buddies over at Tested, Will and Norman, were never super hot on this thing. And I was talking to Will once about it, and mm-hmm. talking about how it feels like, yes, we are being innovative, but we haven't figured it out yet. It's like, it's a little bit like, I don't know, motion controls. Outside of the fad and the initial blast of like the Wii being a big deal, nobody really got their head around whether that was going to be a gaming thing moving forward.
Yeah, but then we see things like the Rift, for example, which isn't, sure. you know, not necessarily a controller, but at the same time, it's kind of moving into this new space where they're trying something that we haven't seen, you know, in traditional gaming before, and people are really responding to it very, very well.
Sure.
So I feel like there is some wiggle room to take some chances and try some new things, because I think people are a little bored. You know, while games are working fine, we're trying to find that happy medium between, you know, PC precision and the comfort of being able to sit on your couch and play something at a console level and be able to have that big screen experience, but you know, still have the precision of a PC experience.
Yeah.
And I think Valve is trying very hard to straddle that line with this controller, and you know, not having tried it, I can definitely see where they're going with the design, but it is kind of a bummer that we're losing some of that cool step into the future type technology that they're trying to implement into these prototypes.
Yeah, and just to cap this thing off, they had plans to release this controller this year that has been pushed to early 2015 or somewhere unspecified in 2015. And that's, you know, Valve is one of those companies. They're like Blizzard. They're like others who can take their time and not feel rushed to get something out by a certain quarter or whatever. They're not hurting for revenue in other ways. So we probably have other iterations to see. But yeah, next year, man, get our hands on this thing and see how truly great or dumb it turns out to be. One way or the
other. Just glad Steam is doing some cool stuff.
Yeah,
an awesome company. Yeah.
Well, as a game, I mean, you're a PC gamer through and through. This must be. I mean, I don't know how you feel, but I definitely feel like this is a kind of a renaissance period for PC gaming.
Oh, totally! It's amazing how much it's come back around. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was working over at Future and you know with PC Gamer, and they were basically saying that the PC was dead. Yeah. You know, it was the era of the PC gamer was over,
and
it was the rise of the consoles.
Yep.
And now we've seen this huge shift back around again. And you know, it's for a lot of different reasons. It's, you know, I would put a lot of it on Steam directly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they really brought along this renaissance of PC gaming, made it really easy for gamers to get together and download games and play together and find each other and, you know, have one common login. And it's working for them in a really, really big way. And now that they're moving into the Steam Box realm and making it so that we can have that Steam experience on our TVs and or, you know, in the living room, I think that's going to be a huge step as well. But they do need to figure out the peripheral situation.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a good time to be a PC gamer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The cool new titles, the indie thing is so freaking awesome right now on PCs.
So good.
And there's experiences there you just cannot have on consoles still. Whether they be through, you know, connectivity or modding or whatever it may be, this sort of open platform, to see it winning in such a way right now is pretty damn exciting. Veronica Belmont, always a pleasure to have you on. Is there anything going on in your world you want people to be have an open eye for? Anything cool coming up?
Let's see. Always Sword and Laser. Swordandlaser.com. It's my sci-fi fantasy show with a fellow TMS contributor, Tom Merritt.
Yeah.
you may have heard of him.
I'm familiar with his work, sure.
I was just looking through all the pictures from Nerdtacular, and there's some amazing ones.
Tom at freaking Night Attack. There's some sweet shots.
Oh, so good. Yeah. I have one of those open right now on my screen. I'm cracking up when we're doing the Captain Morgan bit. It's so good.
It's really good.
But thanks for having me on the show, guys. We'll see you next
Monday. Yeah, it's our pleasure. Veronica on Twitter, everybody. Follow her there as if you're not already. Duh. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you later.
See you.
Bye. All right. Ooh, and she knows how to hang up on time. Look at her.
See? Pro.
Pro, everybody. Look at a pro right at there. Work. That's Veronica Belmont.
Take that.
Professional
Take that,
internet
Merritt.
User, Merritt.
Hope you're listening.
You big wiener. Today's episode was brought to you by... who, by the way, they leave tomorrow at some awful hour to fly to Sweden.
To Iceland?
Yeah, so we're going to go see them tonight. Say goodbye and everything.
Aww,
it's going to be weird. 2 years they're going to be gone.
Wow.
Yeah, she'll be on the show, though. We just, I doubt this week she'll be on the show, but mm-hmm. she'll likely be back the following week, and we'll be able to talk all about her big trip and what's going on over there and get back to the business at hand. Oh, also, the therapy show launched last week. I forgot to mention it.
Oh, yay.
Frogpants.com/therapy. It's up now. Episode 1 on the feed. There'll be another one up today or tomorrow. And you can start digging in. Episode 2 of season 12, or season 1, 12 episodes total. It's going to be good. All right, Brian. Oh, real quick. HelloFresh.com sponsored today's show. I don't know if you knew that, but they did. HelloFresh.com, making fun cooking again. Got dyslexia today. Every week, their chefs create delicious recipes. You pick what you like. They send you the exact farm fresh ingredients straight to your door and everything you need to make that healthy, delicious meal in 30 minutes or less right there. Visit HelloFresh.com. See if they deliver to you. If they do, use the code MORNINGSTREAM for 50% off for first-time customers at HelloFresh.com. Let's do some emails. They're brought to you by...
Diary of a Cartoonist, where you get to see the personal side of Scott Johnson. Ooh. On iTunes or at frogpants.com/diary.
Rishi B. wrote in, said, "Hey, Bebe and Stan." It's a South Park reference.
South Park, yep.
Lots of movies and TV shows are being described as one of those things where either people really love it or they really hate it and there's no in between. For example, how Scott describes reviews of Walter Mitty. Well, partly that's because it was literally 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is why I made that comment. But anyway, in other shows and movies, I dislike this statement. Well, you do you? You're not a lady in a tube the other day, were you? All right, anyway. The truth is there is nothing that exists where there is no middle ground to feel about it. But if you feel meh about something when it isn't as noteworthy as saying you hate it or loved it. So really, there is a in-between for the reviews of Walter Mitty. That's what makes the average review score 50%. But all that is highlighted, there are a few 5 stars and a few 1-star reviews instead of a vast amount of 3 stars. Thanks for being awesome, Rishi B. Now, I would just say this. My point was that everyone I talked to either hates that movie or loves that movie. I think I was the one person who was in between. But everyone I've talked to, I hate it or I loved it. I thought it was fine.
I think I liked it more than you did.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly not raving about it and say, you guys, everybody must go see that movie. But at the same token, I certainly didn't hate it. So
I would put that movie into a certain category. And here is the company it has. Forrest Gump. The Truman Show.
Mm-hmm.
This is that kind of movie, or it's the kind of movie it wants to be. This kind of big life thinking, altering, brain sucking thing, right? Where you have to, I don't know, you question a lot of stuff. You're forced to think about life in a different way or whatever. That's kind of what this movie wants to be. I would take Forrest Gump or Truman Show over this movie. But this isn't bad. It's fine. There are plenty of other movies that are worse than this.
Right.
So just enjoy it for what it is. All Mr. Right. Teal wrote in, says, "Greetings, Soup Lion and Biggie."
Soup Lion.
He said Soup Lion, not Snoop.
Right.
"In regards to your statement that the Walter Mitty movie begins to forget to make the daydream scenes in all of its glory, I think the point was that as Walter begins to truly live his life, he no longer has to daydream because he actually is living an adventure. But Adam Scott's beard, no. Cheers, Mr. Teal." No, I know. I get it. But they still mingled them. Like, even when he started to make those decisions, I think that cut needed to be more clear. That's all.
Yeah. Like the stop dreaming and start living cut.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Instead
I'm trying to remember, were there dream sequences after he did that first big
leap into the helicopter?
Plane? Yeah, or on the helicopter?
I think you're probably right about that supposed to be the break. Mm-hmm. It just didn't feel like it was.
Because he did imagine Kristen Wiig sitting there with the guitar playing for him, like, "Hey, get on."
Ground and that control. Was kind of like the... Yeah, that whole thing.
Right.
There was something else before that. Was there anything after that, though? So that may have been the point. I'm just saying that point didn't feel like a point.
Oh, no, there was a point before that because that's right. He does beat up the guy in the bar.
Oh, right.
The pilot, the helicopter pilot does
right.
get in a fight. But
was there
with
a point after the helicopter? That's what I can't remember. Did he ever have another daydream after the helicopter?
Yeah, I don't remember. But he did daydream between the fight and the helicopter. So,
yeah.
So there wasn't a clean break. You're right.
Well, there was the overall daydream that Time Magazine was going only to web in 2002 or whatever the hell that was set in. That was stupid. That whole thing. I didn't like the premise of Time, the Time Magazine premise. That bugged me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me
Life.
Why. Don't know why.
Life Magazine?
Was it what did I say? No, it was Time, wasn't it? Oh, it was Life. You're right. It was Life.
Yeah.
Wait. But what is Life Magazine?
What is life? It's such a great question to ask.
Is there a real life magazine?
Of course there's a real life magazine.
Why did I think life and time were the same? Oh, weird. I had it in my head that Time magazine was the same as life.
No, there are two different magazines.
Okay, Brian, I have to admit something here. I have always kind of mixed them up.
I like this movie a lot more now.
Well, I've always... No, not that. But I have always kind of thought those two things were the same. Time and life. And isn't Time Life... They're owned by the same people. Because you always say, the Time Life music collection, right?
Right, right.
Hold on, this is really going to bug me. Time Life magazine. Okay, so Time Life...
No, Time Life... There was like the Time Life... Yeah, right. They did some things with some
they're owned by the same thing, right?
Right, but they are two very different magazines.
I thought they were the same joint. I feel like a chode now.
Same company, people are saying.
Oh, robot.
Ooh, listen to that.
Yeah, that's hot. Do you have a...
There we go.
Oh, checks. USB thing.
Weird. Yeah, that's the...
No, that's good. No, is it there?
Yeah, that's not the internet. That's... That's me having to install Wiretap Studio.
Oh.
To record a Skype call last week.
Look at you.
But it's still crackly. Yeah. Crackly.
Crackly and good tasting. Final email from Eric Acosta. He says, hello, Scott and Brian. Just writing in to do a quick correction to Brian's pronunciation of the word Jumex. All right? Remember that?
Right. Yes.
The Jew part of the word is not pronounced Jumex. It's pronounced more like Humex. Even when I am a couple of days behind on the show, I still look forward to listening to both of your sweet, dulcet tones in the morning. With much love from your self-proclaimed number one Chicago fan, pronounced Qui, like the Chi, like the Chinese life force, Cao No. So, oh, Chicano. Shit. I thought it said Chicago.
He's working his way towards it, folks. He's working his way towards it.
Damn it. You're just going to let me go down that path and learn for myself. That's what a good parent does. That's what a good parent does. Anyway, thank you, Eric. Yeah, Brian, it's
Jumex, not Jumex.
I've
never seen it pronounced Chicano. That's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't either. Like Chi. Well, no, like Chi.
Oh, Chicano. Oh, okay. This Q-I is Chi. Gotcha.
Yeah, Chicano is how I've always said it.
Yeah.
I think I got screwed up because I thought it said Chicago.
Number one Chicano fan.
And all I can think about is shit taco for some reason. Anyway, that's that. Last trivia giveaway, Brian.
Tweerini.
What's going on with that?
All right. So we've been doing this thing with Jeff Peterson where we've been giving away copies of Secret Identity, one a week for 3 weeks, trivia questions that you have to answer. And the last week's question was Andrew Allen's done two different versions of the Doctor Who theme, which are on his YouTube page. And Hammer is the agency that replaced S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel Comics universe and demanded the mutant registration database from Tony Stark. So congratulations to CJ from Largo, Florida, on winning the second giveaway.
Nice.
Now we move on to giveaway.
Congratulations.
Week three.
Okay, great. And we start that one now?
Now, right okay. now. All right, for the final giveaway, your questions are... What 1990s Nick cartoon theme song has Andrew Allen done a cover of?
Okay.
And which Earth number is considered the mainstream Marvel universe? As a, you know, as an example, Earth 513, but that's not the answer, so don't do 513. Yeah. But which Earth number is considered the mainstream Marvel universe? You enter by going to bit.ly/secretidentitygiveaway, and you have until midnight Sunday night to get in your answers. Good luck, and... once again, congratulations.
Good
to
luck
CJ
and Godspeed. Yeah.
Yes.
Well done.
And big thanks to Jeff for doing this.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
It's a nice giveaway.
We appreciate it. Here's a question. What is the most common name in America? I think it's Jeff.
Isn't it John?
I think it's Jeff, isn't it? Is it John?
What is John?
The most common name in the U.S. Let's find
out. Tanner.
Most common male first name. Is Tanner. It's Bailey. Tanner, please. Oh, it's James.
James, okay.
Approximate 4.8 million people. Then John, then Robert, then Michael, then William, then David, then Richard, Charles, Joseph, Thomas, Christopher, Daniel, Paul, Mark, Donald, George, Kenneth, Stephen, Edward, Brian. Oh, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
1.7 million of you.
Wow, more than Scott, huh?
Yeah. Ronald, Anthony, Kevin, oh. Jason, Matthew, Gary. Wait.
Gee, we haven't gotten to a Scott yet?
I haven't gotten to a Jeff yet. Jose. Jose is bigger than Larry.
I thought you did say Jeff.
Oh, did I have a Jeff? No, I got a Joseph.
Oh.
No Jeff yet. Jeffrey is right after Jose Jeffrey. And Larry. Yeah, Jeffrey is. At 800,000 is all. Scott, two more down after that, after Frank. Scott is after Frank. Then Eric. I would have thought Eric would have been way higher. Steven.
Matthew. Where was that on the list?
Matthew is higher up there. He was a lot of Matthews there. I can't find it now. You want to know the last? The least
popular name?
Yep.
Cornelius.
I am cooperating. Wade? It's Wade.
Oh, Wade?
Wade. Really? Wade. Here's the
it's
list.
It's the least popular on the list.
Yeah, the least popular on this list. Well, the least number of people have that name. Not popular like, ooh, I hate that guy's name. Mm-hmm. Wade, Freddie, Enrique, Terrence, Eduardo, Renee, Terrence, Kent, Seth, and Tracy are at your bottom 10. Mm-hmm. Julio is on here. Anyway, that's fun to look at. And Jeffrey is way down the list and barely almost close to Scott. So I was wrong. James. Hello, James. All the Jameses. James. Welcome to the world, Jameses.
All the single Jameses.
All right. So that's it.
Put your hands up.
Up. Hey, did you hear about all the controversy? Is that what's her name?
Beyonce?
Yeah, she's doing the 50 Shades of Grey, something on the soundtrack there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and people are all up in arms about it. Yeah. I saw the trailer. It looks dumb.
Because it's porn. I know. Yeah. The audio.
Mm-hmm. It's bad.
That they have when they're. It's really bad.
It doesn't seem good at all. Like
it's not marketed towards us, Scott.
Yeah, this is for a bunch of horny grandmas, isn't it?
what it is. Yes.
Is this is for? All right. Anyway, write in and tell me if I'm wrong.
You don't want to go see with grandma. Yeah. Yes.
If I'm wrong, email me themorningstream@gmail.com. We'll talk about it right here on the show. Tomorrow we've got Chinbird. We've got Jury. We've got other stuff. So be here for that. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. On Twitter, follow us at Morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. And new film sack up. Go check that out. Oh, what else? I'm on DTNS tomorrow with Tom Merritt. That'll be fun. 2:30 Mountain Time, so watch for that. We'll be doing it live. And my daughter's still getting married. And I don't know what else is going on. There's a lot going on around my house. It's a little chaotic. But big thanks to everybody for listening. Brian, should we leave them with a tune in their hearts?
I'd say that's a fantastic idea.
Great.
How about one going out to Paul? Wrote in last week, said, hey, this Friday, July 25th, 2014 will be the birth of my second child and my first daughter. No. We're very excited to welcome Gracie into the world, and I'm very excited to be a father to a daughter now. And this song is kind of how I feel about it right now. Thanks, love the show. And he says, play this if you can play it last week or this week, that'd be great. Well, he requested a cover of Staind's Zoe Jane, and I don't have that, but he said something similar would be great. And I do have another cover that Staind did. We've played their great cover, Comfortably Numb, on the show.
Oh, really good, yeah.
Yes, but they also do a great cover of Alice in Chains' Nutshell. They recorded this live in Hero Ballroom, same place, actually, they recorded the Comfortably Numb cover. And you can find it on their singles album that came out in 2006 in both explicit and amended versions. We're going to listen to the amended version to make Scott happy.
Ah, all right.
Not the explicit version. This is Staind and their cover of Alice in Chains' Nutshell.
You make me happy. That's funny. I'm not happy unless your song is clean.
Clean. F-bomb free.
It must be.
Please.
Retain our clean tag on iTunes. Here it is. It's Nutshell live at Hero. What the hell? Hero? What the hell's that?
Hero Ballroom.
Oh, that's right. You said that. So there's that. If you guys have anything for us, then save it to tomorrow, you chunkleheads. Here it is. Nutshell. See you guys tomorrow.
This next song is it's a cover. It's a song that was written by a fallen hero. A different fallen hero.
better day.
Cloud jockey.